Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
All right. Good morning, Guts Church. My name is Chandler Trevino. I'm the assistant pastor here. Pastor Bill is out of town speaking at another church, but in here this morning is the one and only Pastor Sandy Shear. Let's give it up for him. Not in here, but at the preschool desk is my wife, Tara Trevino, who's actually her 41st birthday today. So if you see her, I'm still in my 30s, so we're good. Four more months of that, so good times. Hey, today I'm going to speak to you on wisdom. That's a fun topic, right? But I kind of want to break down a little bit just knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Why? Because if you read the word, you're going to see that like crazy. Man, you jump in the Proverbs, you're going to see it. You're going to see it in the New Testament. The importance of knowledge, knowing the facts of something, understanding, knowing what's going to happen, and then wisdom, making the right decision, taking the next step. So, but I kind of want to share a story, just kind of my life, how I didn't see this applying in my life at an early age. So I was about 13 years old. I went to a Christian event, gave my life to the Lord, and something changed. Something that day changed me. I didn't start living it. I didn't start walking it out. That didn't happen until closer to 17 or 18. But something was different, right? Like, I felt like I knew more right from wrong than my friends did. Like, they had zero filter, right? Like they didn't know. They were just down for whatever. So I remember a buddy that is going to show you how knowledge and understanding don't always make for wisdom. We decide we're going to sneak out, and we're going to take my buddy's van because you're cool when you take a van. And if you got a car, you're just awesome at that age. So it's like midnight. They pick me up, and I'm like, we have a car. I'm 14. I'm just like, this is awesome. And we're going to put gas in it because you got to leave it right back where you got it, right, because we're really smart. So my buddy pulls up to the gas thing and hits the tire and pops the tire. We're about 11 miles from home at this point. Good times. He goes to the back. We're just going to change the tire. We're going to be all right. It's going to work out. Breaks the key in the back. Yep. So we're stuck 11 miles from home. I knew it was a bad idea, right? Like, you're like, this sounds fun, but we're going to mess up, right? And so it's about 2 in the morning. Lo and behold, we're close to a bar. So what, people just start coming out at 2 a.m. And I'm like, one of them will drive us home. And we were just good decision makers at the time. So we get one of the guys to take us home. And he drove fairly well. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was only slightly scared. Takes us home. My buddy says, you guys run home. I'm going to wake my mom up, and we're going to get in trouble, but the guy driving and me will get in trouble. You guys will be safe. I'm like, I love your planning, right? So run home. We're good to go. Fast forward just a few months later. Still 14. Still not old enough to have our license. And my buddy that was driving that day and hit the concrete curb and blew the tire now has his girlfriend's car. Midday, her mom was okay with it. Good parenting. Okay. So he shows up at the beach, and he's like, you want to go? And I'm like, we can do anything if we have a car. I remember that. Like, we can pick up anybody we want if we have a car. And I'm like, yes. And I'm thinking, has he become a better driver since the last time? So my knowledge is we shouldn't be driving without a license. My understanding is last time we got into a little bit of a wreck. My wisdom was not there yet. And I'm like, let's roll. So I get in the car, and I'm in the back seat, and he says, hey, jump up here. And his girlfriend scoots over to the middle. And so we're all three sitting in the front. I'm like, this is awesome. This is so cool. Like, we're driving and we shouldn't be. And her mom's okay with it. And so we come down this gravel road. We're getting onto the highway. And we had saw a friend walking. And I thought, let's turn around and go get him. And because we got good driving skills, right? Like, you've hit curbs before. And no joke, we're pulling out. And we're going, you know, people are coming 55. It's a highway. We're about to turn back right. And as we begin to turn, a semi hits us. And let me tell you, we roll, slide, you know that whole thing you see in movies, awesome, mess up my arm really, really well, and we're hanging upside down from our seatbelts. And I'm freaking out, right? And I tell my buddy, I'm like, I can't get out. And he gets me out, and what do? I take off running, because that's what you do at the scene of a crime. You run. And I'm just running. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to go back to the beach. My cousin is there. The semi is flipped on its side because it tried to not hit us, and so a lot of people are hurt. And so I'm just running. And I get to the beach, and I tell my cousin, I'm like, dude, we just got in a wreck. He's like, I jumped up on my truck. I heard it. I saw something. I knew it was you. I was like, then why'd you let me go? Start putting it on him, right? Like, you're a bad cousin. And he drives me home, and I'll never forget it. My dad's sitting there on the side of the house. She's drinking a beer. He's in his mechanic's outfit. And I'm like, Dad, I got into a car with Mike, and we got hit by a semi. My arm's pretty messed up. I think I need to go to the hospital. And he was, He's like, okay. And I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah. So you go to the hospital. I get grounded for a couple months. Fast forward, I'm now 15 years old. I have knowledge. I have understanding. I still do not have this thing you call wisdom. My buddy Aaron, whose van we were in that we had wrecked, but wasn't the driver. We're going to walk to the movies from his house, mile and a half. We start walking. He goes, I forgot something. He comes back in his mom's van. He said, my mom said it's okay. And I'm like, I said, dude, you remember what happened like last year with Mike? And he goes, I'm a better driver than Mike. And I'm like, you probably are. So I got in the van. No experience. He hasn't shown that he's a better driver, but he said it, and that made me feel good. So we drive to the movie, watch a movie called Above the Rim. It was an awesome movie, Regulator song, killer, awesome. We leave hype. A couple girls that need a ride home. We have a van. We can do anything we have a van. Like, right? Like, this is going to be the greatest night of our lives. Like, we have a vehicle, and we shouldn't be driving. So we're pulling out of the movie theater. We're not even down the road. We are pulling out of the movie theater. There's a car coming. I guess Aaron's a good driver, but doesn't know to look left. And so we get hit, and the two girls fly out the window. It was me and the two girls in the back. I fall to the ground. They fly out the window. What do? I run. I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just running. I jump a fence, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, and then my buddy that was in the front seat, not the driver, the other guy jumps over, and he's like, let's go get Aaron's mom. And I'm like, great idea. So we start running to Aaron's house, and my mom asked, and there's fire truck, there's ambulance, there's police. And I'm like, don't let them see us, because surely they'll know it was us. So we're going to run and dodge them to get there, right? So I had knowledge of what can happen when you get in a car with an unlicensed driver, and I had understanding because I'd been in a wreck, but I still didn't have wisdom active in my life. So this morning, what I want to talk to you about is wisdom. If you're underage in here and you don't have a license and your buddy wants, don't do it. Like, just don't. Like, especially by the third time, don't. Like, you got to, at some point, learn. And Pastor Bill always says, if you're with the wrong people at the wrong place, you'll end up doing the wrong thing. And I remember that third time, I wanted to not go. I genuinely wanted to not go. I thought, I remember. Like, he wasn't in the car last time. I was in the car last time. The two other guys were not. And I remembered, but man, I didn't have the ability to make the right decision. I didn't have that wisdom to say, you know what? This is a bad call. And I remember walking into my house, and I thought, I'm going to tell my dad. I'm going to let my dad know that this has happened again. And he's in bed, so I wake him up and said, Dad, I said, hey, we're leaving the movie theater. I was with Aaron. We got hit. Two girls got hurt pretty bad. They're going to be okay. I just found out, but bad. One of the girls was in a back brace for a while. It was bad. And he said, okay, you're not in trouble. And I was thinking, that's great. And he said, because you may have to die to learn your lesson. That's not great, right? Like, I'm 15 and just, I realized there's something not clicking in my life. Right? I don't have this ability to make the right decision. And I have the knowledge and I have understanding, but I'm not walking in this wisdom. At that age, there's just something in me that's like, this isn't right. And I'm really glad I told my dad, because 10 minutes later, a police officer knocked on the door. He's like, were you in a wreck? And I'm like, did somebody tell you I was in a wreck? Or like, I ran. I don't think anybody saw me. I'm fast. And why did you run? I said, that's what I do when we get in wrecks. So you run. Mr. Officer, sir. And can you tell me what happened? I'm like, we got hit. I was on the ground. Couldn't find the girls. I ran. So all the details I have, I think he didn't look left. So one of my favorite proverbs in the whole Bible is Proverbs chapter 2. And it talks about wisdom. And this is kind of where I'm going to kick everything off. Proverbs chapter 2. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation starting in verse 1. It says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver and seek them like hidden treasures. Right? Like it says, seek that wisdom. Desire it like you would a hidden treasure. Like if I said, hey guys, there's $1 million hidden somewhere in here. Y'all going to start looking under the risers. I'm going to see people crawling under the stage. You're going to go, why? Man, because you're like, there's a hidden treasure in here. Even if you don't need the money, the hunt is just amazing, right? So it's like, that's how we got to get into God's word. It says, search for that wisdom like you would hidden treasure. Man, desire it, so I'm going to find it. It may not seem plain for me right now, but I'm going to get after it, and I'm going to find it. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He's a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just, and he protects those who are faithful to him. Right? There's just so much that God is taking care of us. And he's saying, I'm giving you these things. Here's what it reads in the message, Proverbs 2, 6 through 8. And the message said, and here's why God gives out wisdom free. God gives out wisdom free. You don't have to earn this wisdom. He's giving it to you. Man, all you have to do is ask. And he says, it's plain spoken in knowledge and understanding. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who live well, a personal bodyguard to the candid and the sincere. Like, you understand how much God loves you and wants to take care of you? Man, he's saying, I'm giving you this wisdom free. Man, you live in this honesty, you live in this sincerity. Man, I'm going to give you common sense, which I value. I think common sense is a big deal. Common sense would say, don't get in that van, right? Like, understanding of what's happened in the past. But so often we lack that. We lack that. We're thinking this is going to be fun. This is going to be amazing. I remember saying in that last service, I just thought it was so cool the fact that we were driving a year before we should be driving. And for some reason, that picture outweighed the stuff that I knew could happen, the stuff that I had already seen and experienced happen. Verse 9, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. And you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's going to fill your heart. It's going to fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way and they walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. Right? Like, if we're not around the right people, it's going to lead us down the wrong path. So wisdom will cry out. I know we say it to our teenagers, man, if you're hanging out with the right people, right, and you're in the right place, do the right things. But I believe it's so for everybody in the crowd. Man, you got to be around people that are going to stir that vision that God has placed on the inside of you, that are going to encourage you to get into God's word, right? They're going to encourage you to be at church and to be serving. Those are the kind of people you have to be around, not at age 16 only, but man, till the end of days. If you have the right friends that are encouraging the vision that God's placed on the inside of you, I believe you can accomplish anything. I genuinely do believe it. 40, 50, 60 years old, it does not matter. You have to surround yourselves with the right people. You have to have the right people in your lives. Man, stoking that word that God has placed on the inside of you, sharing that word with you. Man, those conversations have to be built on that. Man, because if you're just like everybody else at work, you're not going to get many opportunities to preach the gospel. You're really not. Man, everywhere you go, you have to decide, you know what? I'm going to be a representation of God wherever I go, and then I'm going to surround myself with those people in that place. I had an opportunity, I kind of was putting my notes together Thursday, an opportunity to talk with AJ and Aaron, they oversee Sky, took and Sepulpa, and they came and gave me some feedback, and it was so cool to hear what they had to say. I mean, they're doing an amazing job at those campuses, and here's one thing AJ said. He said, knowledge comes in as authority, and wisdom comes as the servant. I love that. And he says, and the question we ask sometimes with knowledge is it okay? Because the Bible at one point says knowledge puffs up. So it's like, man, you don't want to just be knowledge. You got to have that understanding and wisdom also functioning with it. And it says, you need to be able to flex authority or your knowledge at the right time and servanthood, your wisdom, at the right time. And we have to know when is the right time, because knowledge is those facts. Facts aren't bad, but they're always subject to God's truth. That's what you have to realize. The facts may say, here's what you have. But wisdom is going to say, God's healed you, God's delivered you. Knowing the facts is not bad. Dwelling on the facts or just putting all your faith in the facts, that can be bad. But what happens too often is we got to have some knowledge, we got to have some understanding, but we have to function in God's wisdom. The biblical definition of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, as that's where it begins and God is the source. The earthly wisdom is really no wisdom at all, because the wisdom of the world is folly with God, is what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:19. True wisdom is found in obedience to God, fearing him and his word. That's it, man. If we want wisdom, it's not this like grand thing that only certain people find. It's literally getting into God's word. It's literally being around God's people. It's literally being at God's house. And I'm telling you, I think we've put it up on this pedestal, like, no, I mean, those people, they just get it better than I do. I promise you, God wants to reveal it the same way to you that he has to everyone else. All we got to do is seek it like hidden treasure. Man, we got to get after it a little bit, say, God, I want to know you, God. I'm going to spend time in your word. That's where the wisdom comes from, is God's word. And if you're wondering, it begins and it ends with his word. It's being aware of something and having information. Knowledge is really about facts and ideas that we acquire through study, research, investigation, observation, or experience. Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge which aspects of that knowledge are true, right, lasting, and applicable to your life. Like, wisdom shows us what the next thing is, right? That knowledge and understanding, it isn't enough in and of itself. It really isn't. Man, there's people that know things and still don't abide by it. I look at it this way. I know the speed limit. I have an understanding of what can happen if I don't obey that speed limit. So wisdom says, don't speed. I'm not trying to convict anybody in here. This is just me. It's how I live my life. I haven't been pulled over in 18 years. I drive a black Expedition with tinted windows, and I'm a Hispanic man. I have not been pulled over in 18 years because I obey the laws of the land. I use my turn signal, and I go the right speed, right? Like, I'm good because I do the right thing. Right? I literally was telling this story to guys. We went to Kansas City. We helped Kyle Turner as a church there. We went and helped him. He had a new building. Took about 10 guys. And I'm telling guys on that trip, I'm like, I don't ever get pulled over. I'm like, it's crazy. It's like 18 years since I got pulled over. And what do I see in my rearview mirror 5 minutes later? Lights. And I'm like, was I speeding while I told the story? Like, did I not use a blinker? Like, what happened? So I pull over, and the cop pulls up next to me. He's like, get back on the road. I'm trying to get the guy in front of you. I'm like, I can't even get pulled over, right? Like, he's like, it's not you. Like, go. I was like, well, I still haven't been pulled over, I guess. So knowledge is the facts. Understanding is the ability to translate meaning from the facts. And wisdom is knowing what to do next, given an understanding of the facts and the circumstances. They work together, right? You got to have the knowledge. You got to have the understanding. But then you have to function in the wisdom. I think that's too often what we miss out on, is we don't function in that wisdom that God's giving us. Knowledge is the facts. Understanding is the ability to translate meaning from the facts. And wisdom is knowing what to do next, given an understanding of the facts and the circumstances. Those with knowledge are able to collect, remember, and access information. But it is possible to have knowledge and lack understanding and wisdom. Someone might have the facts but not know what they mean or what to do next. Those with understanding are able to extract the meaning out of the information. They see through the facts, the dynamics of what, how, and why. Understanding is a lens which brings the facts into crisp focus and produces principles. But those with wisdom, they know which principle to apply in a given context. Those with wisdom know what actions to take next. They do the right thing in the given situation. In contrast, there are many who have great knowledge and understanding, but who consistently do the wrong thing. That was me. I had the facts, I had the knowledge, I had the understanding, but I was still consistently doing the wrong thing. Right? That wisdom was not active in my life. All right, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. I'm also reading out of the New Living Translation here. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. There's a lot right there, right? Like there's so much. So he's saying, hey, we're praying for your knowledge, we're praying for your wisdom, we're praying for your understanding. Because if you have these three things, here's what the verse says. When you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, then these three things fall into place. One, the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. How many of you guys want that? How many of you guys want that life? Right? Like that's it. Like, Chana, what do you want? I want to honor and please the Lord. That genuinely is my heart cry. That's what I want to do. It says if I have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, that's what happens. Is, man, you end up honoring and pleasing the Lord. Number two, your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Every kind of good fruit. Man, every your life will produce those things just simply because you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. When those three things become active in your life, it says literally every good fruit will be active in your life. Everyone. Man, what are you lacking? What are you missing out on? It absolutely is there when you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And the number three, you will grow. You will grow. It says, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. I want to grow. I don't think we ever hit an age where we stop growing. Right? There's seasons of life. Man, I had to learn how to be great at being single. Then I had to learn how to be great at being a married husband. And then quickly had to learn how to be great at being a dad. And probably not way down in the future, a grandparent, right? Like it's a progression. You have to learn to be these things. You always have to be growing. Like that doesn't ever stop. And it says, when you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, those three things are active in your life. You will honor and please the Lord. Every good fruit will be active in your life, and you will grow. Man, let that be us. Let that be simply us. Let us decide, you know what? I want the knowledge, I want the understanding, but I want the wisdom. Here's what's cool is it says in the Bible, it's talking about Peter and John. It said, man, they were unlearned and they were uneducated is what the word says. Someone was talking about them, but they marveled. They marveled and they didn't make sense. They're uneducated, they're unlearned. There shouldn't be anything to marvel about. And they realized they had been with Jesus. They're like, they're not educated. They're unlearned is what it said. But everybody marveled because they'd been with Jesus. Man, they were able to speak in a way that in their time, you don't speak like that unless you have education, right? Unless you have the background, unless you've been around your whole life, you don't speak like that. But they spoke like that simply because they'd been with Jesus. Can I just tell you, we all have access to that. Every single one of us sitting in the room, we have access to that wisdom. We have access to that knowledge and understanding. We have access to it in God's word every single day. That's the only thing that Peter and John did. Man, they just spent time with Jesus. That's what made them who they were. That's why people marveled at them. Like, are you telling me they looked at him and just said, that's amazing what you're doing. It's amazing what you're saying. That's amazing what you're living. That's amazing the fruit of your life. Why? Because they'd been with Jesus. That's where wisdom comes from, spending time with the Lord. Verse 11, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with all glorious power so you'll have the endurance and patience you need. Endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. I feel like we miss out so much in God's word because we miss out on that endurance and that patience. Endurance means you're able just to keep going, right, until that fruit is produced. Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in doing good because in due season you reap the harvest. Don't grow weary, right? You need endurance and then patience, just that ability to wait. That ability to wait expectantly. Like so the Bible's saying, listen, I'm going to grant you this glorious power so you'll have endurance and you'll have the patience you need. May you be filled with joy. May you be filled with joy. This is huge right now. Like if I was talking to my wife and I was like, I feel like that's the season I'm in, is I want to let people know, enjoy life. Man, enjoy life. It doesn't matter what season you're in, enjoy life. Man, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, there's no reason not to enjoy life. And if he's not, we can take care of that at the end of this service. But I'm telling you, enjoy life. Choose that joy, no matter the season. And when I say no matter the season, I have 5 kids, right? 4 who are really close in age, and then what we call a surprise baby, 7.5 years later. And he's a little over a year old. And last night, about 5 a.m., he needed a bottle. And so my wife is getting up to get a bottle. I hear her talking, like, you know, you need a bottle, I'm gonna get you a bottle, whatever. And I'm like thinking, I could probably get up and get a bottle, but I'm still half asleep, so I'm gonna lay right here. And then I thought, I feel kind of dizzy. And then I was like, was I dreaming I was dizzy? Or am I really dizzy, right? By the time I get done figuring that out, she's already gotten the bottle. And she comes back in, and she said, hey, babe, CJ's not out there. Well, they had all 3 of my kids had fallen asleep on the couch, one spending the night, and then the baby was in the crib. So it's like, where could he be? And I was like, I'm gonna get up and find him. Forgetting, I'm a little dizzy. So I start stumbling, and I'm about to hit, and I grab the crib, or I'm gonna hit the ground. I'm like, this is a great life we live, right? Like, getting bottles in the middle of the night. So my son's missing, right? When I say missing, he's a little bit of a sleepwalker. Like, we have seen him, when he falls asleep, get up and go pee in the dog bowl. We've seen him get up and go pee in the trash can, which is right next to the toilet. It's like, are you really sleeping? Like, this doesn't feel right. Like, you're messing with us, right? So enjoy it. So he's gotten up and he's gone to different locations before. We can't find him. And I'm like, all the doors are locked. If all the doors are locked, we looked in his room, we looked downstairs under the coffee table behind the couch, places we found him before, okay? He's not in these places. He's asleep upstairs, not in his room, comfortably, right? But we didn't know. I'm awakened out of my sleep because I didn't want to get the bottle is why I think I had to get up, almost falling over, looking for my son who could be peeing anywhere in the house. And we find them asleep comfortably. But it's just funny, and I'm like, what an amazing life we live, right? Like, what an honor it is to raise kids, right? Like, one day he won't be peeing and stuff anymore. Like, maybe Asher will be, and then maybe grandkids, but right now, this is the end of his season of hopefully doing that, right? Like, you're almost double digits, buddy. It's time to just stay where you sleep. But enjoying it, right? We have soccer, we have all this stuff. Life could be crazy, and we could say, you know what, we're done, but we love it. It's a choice. You get to choose to enjoy the season you're in. You get to choose to enjoy it. God's gonna strengthen you. He's gonna give you the endurance. He's gonna give you the patience. He's gonna give you what you need if you rely on him. So what happens, we start relying on our own strength, and it's hard to enjoy when you're relying on your own strength, because can I tell you, you cannot do it in your own strength. It's impossible. It's not, I mean, you can't. And you're wondering why you're wore out, and you're wondering why it's not fun, and you're wondering why people are like, are you mad? Right? You're like, no. It's like, well, your face says you're mad, right? I was just checking. Because you begin to realize, I'm not enjoying this life that God created us to enjoy, right? He didn't give his son so that we could be frustrated with life. He gave his son that we could enjoy life. Literally, it says in Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Like, we were his joy in the midst of the cross, right? The worst moment of his life, he had joy because of us. How can we not have joy because of him in every moment of our life? It's a choice. Man, to choose to enjoy life, it doesn't matter the season that you're in. Verse 12, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us in the kingdom of his dear son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Let's drop down to verse 21. It says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless, and you stand before him without a single fault. So here's what becomes hard. Wisdom is knowing that. Wisdom is knowing that's how God sees me. Right? You can live in a different kind of freedom if you realize that's how God sees you because you've given your life to him. But what happens is we're too busy. We remember what we did last week, how we acted last week, what we said last week. So it's hard for us to live in this freedom because we don't realize, you know what? He sees us holy and blameless without a single fault because we're hidden in Christ. He's not seeing us. He's seeing Jesus. But what happens is we don't function in that wisdom and we're down and out on ourselves. We're beating ourselves up over past mistakes or who I used to be or how I used to talk. And we don't get to walk out on that great life that God has in store for you because you have to remember you're hidden in him. That's why he sent Jesus. You weren't good enough. You couldn't do it on your own. You needed a savior. We needed to be rescued. What happens is we start thinking, I can do this. I can do this, and we quit depending on him. And then we quit enjoying the life he intended us to enjoy. I want to encourage you guys this morning, remember that. Remember you're hidden in Christ, right? Remember that that's how he sees you. He sees you holy and blameless, and he sees you without a fault. Because all we can see normally is our faults. All we can see normally is our shortcomings, the mistakes we've made. And God's saying, stop it. This is how I see you. Verse 23, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. Which means we're going to have the want or the desire to drift away from it. What are we drifting away from? Realizing the price that he paid, and that's what made us holy. We drift away from that freedom because we start thinking, but here's what I still make this mistake. Man, I still get hot-headed sometimes. I still get frustrated sometimes. I said this. I knew I shouldn't have said it. And we get stuck in that moment, and we're missing out on God's freedom. We're missing out on that freedom that he's given us. So he says, continue to believe this truth, stand firmly in it, and don't drift away. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Verses 28 and 29 says, So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that God has given us. So when we gain this knowledge, we gain this understanding, now we have this wisdom, and now we got to turn around and show others. Right now, we got to turn around and teach others because you know people that are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. You know people that are making mistakes they shouldn't be making. Man, you got to be part of it. So once you become that mature Christian and you've gained that knowledge, you've gained that understanding, you have that wisdom, I got to go out and help others now. I got to go out and show others. I got to go out and teach others. Right? I did 12 years of youth ministry telling people, you know what, if you don't have a license, don't drive. Right? Because you get hit by a semi or you can get hit by in a van and girls fly out the window. Right? Why? Because I gained this wisdom and this knowledge and this understanding and now I got to share it with others. And it helps people. It genuinely does. We've made mistakes other people need to not make because we're in their life. We've done things that we shouldn't have done, but now can help somebody else because we've gained wisdom on that, and there's people who haven't gained it yet. And they don't have to go through the same thing. They can learn it from us. Someone who loves God and is genuine, and we've learned from it, and now we just get to go teach and show others. Now we just get to walk away and say, okay, here's what I've learned. Man, if I could have a moment, let me share that with you. Let me share this wisdom that God has given me. Last verse, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Right? The only thing we're missing on wisdom is sometimes we just don't ask. We just try to figure it out ourselves. There's an elder in the 9:30 service, Brad Pepin, and he came to me and he said, man, I love that it says without reproach. He says, if your kid comes and asks you for wisdom, you're not going to say, but you didn't clean your room a week ago, so I'm not going to give you any wisdom on that. Right? We love our kids. If they come in and ask us for advice, we're going to give them advice. We're not going to base it on an attitude they had 2 days ago. We're going to help them. How much more so is God without reproach? He gives liberally. Man, some of you just need that wisdom in your life. That's all you lack. Man, you have the knowledge. You have the understanding. You've been gaining that. Now you just need that wisdom. You just need that wisdom. And then God just says, ask, and I'll freely give it to you. I'll freely give it to you. He's not sitting in heaven withholding things from you. All he's saying simply is, ask me. Man, I'll give you the wisdom. And then you have one job. You just got to walk it out. You just got to live it. You got to decide that's it. Man, God, I had the knowledge, I had the understanding, and here's what you're telling me to do. I'm just going to go do it. Let's pray in here this morning. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for knowledge and understanding and wisdom overtaking every area of our life, God. That every day, God, we're led by you, we're led by your word, we're led by your spirit. God, we choose you. We choose your life. We choose your way of doing things. We don't rely on ourselves anymore. God, we thank you that you see us holy and blameless. Man, let us not see our mistakes when we look back. Let us see you. Let us be hidden in you. And you see us without fault. God, grace us to see ourselves that way. Not the mistakes we've made, not the things we've said. We want to see ourselves how you see us. We want to live this life that you have for us, God. We want to enjoy every season of life.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.